Please do keep the Bible reading open and let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we read the Psalms that you would have read, we pray you will speak to us. Amen. So as Matthew's already said, we're reading through some of the Psalms this summer. And we know that Psalms are songs or poems in the Bible, songs, poems or prayers. The songs and prayers that Jesus and his disciples would have known and said and sung. Now, when we sing songs in church, we generally expect them to be about God, maybe praising God, saying how great he is, how he has done wonderful things. We sing about Jesus, thanking him for loving us and saving us. And sometimes our songs speak of our response to him, of our love for Jesus, our trust in him. If that's what we're expecting in the Psalms, then, well, the middle of this psalm might come as a bit of a shock. It's not really what we expect. But let's go back and start at the beginning. It's a psalm of David. And at the start of the psalm, David reminds himself, and therefore reminds us, of what he knows. That God blesses those who have regard for the weak. That is, those who show mercy, who show compassion to those who are sick or deprived or suffering. The world we live in may often look down on those who are less well off. It treats those who have suffered, even for no fault of their own, as less important. Our news is full of examples. The way we treat would-be asylum seekers. The fact that food banks are not only needed in this country, but actually are struggling to keep up with demand. The existence of modern slavery. The increasing pressure to provide euthanasia on demand. I'm sure each of us could provide more examples of the way in which we as a society fail to care and show compassion. But throughout the Bible, we are taught another way. That God is a God of compassion and loving kindness, who cares for the downtrodden, the sick, the suffering. And so he says God's people, his people, are to be people of mercy and compassion. And so King David, as King of Israel, was to set a godly example and treat his people fairly and with compassion. We, as followers of Jesus, are to set our priorities to follow God's priorities, to look beyond ourselves and love and care for others. And so we read, blessed are those who have regard for the weak, those who follow in God's ways, who belong to God, because, verse 2, the Lord will protect and preserve them. In other words, to quote from Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. As we read on, we discover that the writer of the psalm, King David, is himself, at the point of writing or at the time he's remembering, in need of God's care and God's mercy himself. We discover that he is sick, or at least is writing about a time when he was sick. And yes, I prepared the slides for the 11 o'clock service first, and I thought you'd probably rather have this one than the rather more disturbing alternatives of someone being sick. Verse 3 and 4. The Lord sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from their bed of illness. I said, have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. He's saying, God, you protect and care for the weak. That's me now. Heal me. The psalmist regards himself as someone who shows mercy to those in need, and so on that basis asks God for healing, forgiveness and mercy. But then there's a change of mood as he talks more about his own situation. What else is going on while he is sick in bed? While he's been ill, it turns out that people have been saying nasty things. They've been lying about him, even saying that they wish he was dead. People who he thought were his friends have come to see him, but then gone away and said bad things about him. Verses 5 and 6, my enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? When one of them comes to see me, he speaks falsely. While his heart gathers slander, then he goes out and spreads it around. And it gets worse. Verse 9. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. Sharing bread, eating together, sharing hospitality in that culture was a really strong sign of trust. A trust that has been cruelly broken as he is betrayed by even that close friend. If you want to read more of the events in the life of David, which we assume is what lies behind this psalm, you can find it in 2 Samuel chapters 15 to 18, where David's son Absalom is rebelling against him, and then his trusted advisor, the rather unpronounceable Ahithophel, maybe, betrays him by advising Absalom against his father. But we don't need the details to understand the big picture, and we don't need the details to pray this psalm. The writer of our psalm now isn't just ill. He is all alone. He has no one to trust, no one to care for him, except, of course, for God. Downcast, dejected, rejected. This is not usually the sort of thing we have in our songs in church, though our opening hymn was actually a paraphrase of this psalm. Not the kind of tone we normally start a service with, is it? But chosen today because of our reading. That kind of downcast plea against rejection and cry of despair isn't the sort of thing we often have in our prayers in church either. We can be quite good about praying for other people who are ill or in trouble or who need things. But I think sometimes we feel a bit awkward about telling God about the stuff that is making us sad, the stuff that we're finding difficult. This psalm and other psalms show us that it is okay for us to tell God about the bad stuff. To say that we're sad or angry or scared. To complain to God, telling him just how bad it is. Our circumstances don't have to be identical to those that King David was facing for us to feel similar emotions, for us to use these words or similar words of our own. These might not be prayers that we want to say out loud with everyone listening, but they are still important prayers. God does care about us and about how we feel about things. And we know that it's all right to pray this way because we know that Jesus prayed this psalm. On the night before he died, when Jesus was sharing bread with his friends, he knew that one of his 12 best friends, Judas, was going to betray him, the worst thing a friend could do. And Jesus said, "He who shared my bread has turned against me," quoting verse 9 that I read just a moment ago. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread has turned against me. When Jesus knew that he was about to die, and that before he died, one of his friends would betray him, he quoted this psalm. Not because every detail in it applied to his situation, but because its overall theme of praying when we're having a difficult time and we're let down or betrayed, that was the same overall theme of what was happening to him. Because this is a psalm which isn't afraid to talk to God about the hardest things. But that sense of betrayal and despair isn't where this psalm ends. It ends closer to where it begins, by the writer, the person praying this prayer, asking God for mercy, for forgiveness where they've done things wrong, and for the care and kindness that they know God shows to his people. The writer is now praying these things, looking back on that time of sickness and betrayal, remembering that God did not let him down, that despite everything, his enemies, those who betrayed him and lied about him, they did not triumph over him. This psalm ends with a prayer of trust, that even when things are difficult, that God is still in charge. Just like a small child trusts the adult looking after them to keep them safe, King David, writing this psalm, ends by trusting in God. Even when he's ill and scared and lonely, he tells all that to God and then remembers that God can be trusted. when Jesus was about to die, when he was about to feel very alone. He prays part of this psalm, knowing that it ended with trust in God, that the enemy that for him was evil and death itself would not win, but on the cross where he died for us, he would triumph and death would be defeated. And because of that, we too can pray this psalm. We can pray to God, telling him what we feel like, telling him what is going on in our lives, but also knowing that we can trust him, knowing that he listens to us and cares for us, knowing that because of Jesus, when we cast ourselves on God's mercy, we can know God with us, even when we're lonely. But more than that, we can know his forgiveness. We can know that life that comes only from him. There is one verse at the end of the psalm, verse 13, which is different from the rest. When the psalms were put together, they were split into five books. You'll see in your Bible, the next psalm's got a big book two before we actually get to the psalm 42. In the first 41 psalms, we start with a psalm that the person who delights in God's law, who reads the Bible to find out what God is like and how he wants to live, that person is truly happy or blessed. And then there are psalms about all sorts of things. Praising God, remembering what God has done for us, and like Psalm 41, being honest with God about how things are and how we feel. And at the end of all that, we have these words to hold everything together, to put everything into perspective. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Whatever we sing, whatever we pray, whether we're remembering good things and being thankful, or whether we are sad and pouring out our distress to the God who cares for us when it seems that no one else does, we are reminded that God is our God. He is God of everything, in charge of everything, that he always has been and always will be a good and caring God. And so we praise him from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.